We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
CHGO White Sox podcast coming to you live from Studio A of our CHGO offices here in the West Loop of Chicago. I'm your host, Sean Anderson. Alongside me is the full CHGO White Sox crew. That is Vinny Duber, our CHGO White Sox beat writer. You could read his work at allchgo.com. You could follow him at Vinny Duber. There's two brand new articles of Vinny Duber's up at allchgo.com talking about the Dylan Cease trade and what Chris Getz had to say about it. And then Chris Getz also had some more news about Michael Kopech moving to the bullpen. Vinny has you caught up at allchgo.com. The man in the middle is Herb Lawrence.
Hello.
Our CHGO White Sox community leader. You can follow him at Ecknerwall23. He's our... Don't need to give your job title choice. You can follow me at Sean_W_Anderson. You can follow the show at CHGO_White Sox. As you saw, we're being produced today by Sarah.
Today has been one of the busiest days I've had. No, honestly, the last 2 days has. So I apologize for that. I was missing a couple starters for the show.
Sarah Cam. Yeah,
this is. I mean, people would much rather probably see you than us from this far away.
You know, it's tough having back-to-back-to-back shows, so you know, I'm trying my best.
This is your third White Sox show in the past 24 hours, too, so thank you for that as well. Make sure you're hitting the thumbs-up button and make sure you are hitting the subscribe button. Who's your daddy commenting? That was a dejected hello, Herb.
Wow. I mean, Herb, clean it up.
I mean, they all come how I feel that day. So if it came off dejected, I apologize because I'm actually in a decent mood today.
Oh, okay.
It's all right.
You don't want to talk
about
it?
The weather's kind of dreary, but I mean, we're finally got some resolution. I'm feeling good. Resolution of that Dylan Cease thing feels good. A weight off of all of our shoulders.
We're going to be talking also to Jared Willis, who's joining us live from Arizona. He filmed Michael Kopech's reaction, and that's up on our Twitter page at CHGO_White Sox. Jared is joining us from Gila River Resort and Casino. I'll tell you more about that later. But we'll talk a little bit about Kopech later on in the show. We'll talk more about Cease as well. We have some Getz video that Vinny has from the Zoom earlier today. Why don't we talk a little bit, though, about maybe, you know, reactions to Cease. It's been 24 hours. We've had more time to sleep. We've literally slept on it. Any more thoughts, especially after talking to Chris Getz on this Dylan Cease day? Because is it supposed to be a dreary moment? You said it's resolution, but, you know, is it a dreary time when you're trading away a player of this caliber?
Yeah, I mean, it should be, right? I mean, the idea being that if everything had gone as planned, this would not have happened, right? I mean, yeah. And so not to say that Dylan Cease would have necessarily been a White Sox for life, but with 2 years of club control at a very relatively affordable price, he definitely would have continued to be pitching for a contending White Sox team. Mm-hmm. That is far from where the White Sox are at this moment for everybody knows why. But, you know, this is a reminder, and certainly the biggest reminder since Chris Getz has taken over, that this is the start of a new rebuilding mode for the White Sox. And so I think that folks and certainly the team can be happy with what they got back and hopeful that those guys are going to be part of a bright future moving forward. But the reason that they're here is because this didn't work out the way it was supposed to. And now Dylan Cease, one of the better pitchers in baseball, as we keep talking about, is no longer going to be pitching in front of White Sox fans.
And while I am relieved that it's got some resolution, the player's been here since 2017. And so having him not be in part of the White Sox organization, where we saw him grow up through the minor leagues to become one of the best pitchers in the major leagues, it's kind of sad to see that that player is moving on to a team that is going to be trying to win the division out there in the AL or NL West, which they probably won't because the Dodgers are the Dodgers. But the resolution's good, but it's still sad. I'm sure Jared will tell us how that clubhouse felt about a player that they thought they would have for at least the trade deadline, and now he's gone. And these guys are probably thinking, you know, we could compete for the AL Central before he gets traded. And it's probably a little dour after that. It's like, the realization, even though it was written on the wall for everybody, but the realization of your best player, your best pitcher is now gone. So it's probably a very dire White Sox clubhouse today, saying goodbye to Dylan Cease.
And the future win projections went from like 63.5 to 60.5 on some sports books. So that's going to be fun. Like, can the White Sox even win 60 games? That's going to be a real fun is there a 30th day in March?
There is.
Oh, okay, cool.
It's the second game of the season for the White Sox.
All right, we'll probably do our preview show a little bit earlier than
the 27th,
that,
I would imagine.
There we go. Yeah. We'll probably tell you then on the 27th there. One thing that I do want to talk about before we get into the Kopech stuff is, you know, some talks about the return. I think Getz did fine. This just sucks being in this position. And if you're looking at the Quintana trade, the CHGO Cubs guys were just doing that before we went live. Or if you're looking at the Chris Sale trade, the unfortunate reality is that I was like in high school when those trades were made. Like, now I'm an adult and Chris Sale is a completely just different player. The reason they didn't get the number one and number two prospects like Jackson Merrill and Ethan Salas in this trade, like they did in the Chris Sale trade, is because Dylan Cease has 11.7 WAR and Chris Sale had 30 WAR as a pitcher for the White Sox before they were moved. It's just the quality of player. They weren't trading Chris Sale. They were trading Dylan Cease. It's not anything that they can control. I think they got the best that they could have for this player. I think they had the right team to go after in a desperate Padres team that really couldn't spend money. They were in a right scenario where Cease is up to speed, unlike these other free agents. And again, you're going after a team with a pretty good prospect system. Getting their, you know, fifth, seventh, and eighth prospects is pretty decent.
I think you're right on all of those accounts. I think that, or all of those counts, rather. I think Chris Sale obviously was, we just called Dylan Cease one of the better pitchers in baseball. Chris Sale had an argument that he was the best pitcher in baseball at the time. But also, I think mostly it's just that things have changed in almost 8 years, 7.5 years since that's happened. And certainly those things that I'm talking about, which is the market, right, can change from year to year as well. And I think this offseason in particular, you just saw people not willing to give up prospects. And whether that's the Orioles with all the guys that they've got and a relatively low payroll in the major leagues, even though they've got all these minor league talented players, or any of the other teams that were rumored to be in the Dylan Cease sweepstakes, and then the team that eventually got him, this is probably the best that Chris Getz could have done because of what the market is. And I think that had this been 2016 or 2017, a player of Dylan Cease's caliber probably nets a much better package. But that's not what is happening right now. And I think that you're seeing the result of a market that was only willing to spend their fifth, seventh, and eighth best prospects on a pitcher as good as Dylan Cease is. Chris Getz said in the thing today, the White Sox did not receive a trade offer for Dylan Cease that they thought met their threshold until yesterday. So, I mean, they weren't even there weren't even offers for them to consider that had as much value as they believe that they got yesterday. And he also said, had they not taken the offer yesterday, he was afraid that it something that good might not have come along again, even if they had waited till the trade deadline. So at least in terms of the White Sox standpoint, they probably got the best that they could have gotten for him. If it's not what you wanted, then probably your expectations were set based on a past market and not the one that the White Sox were operating in this offseason.
And I was on with a San Diego station today, and they floated this idea that the Gerrit Cole injury kind of set up for this whole Dylan Cease market, where the San Diego Padres probably and the White Sox probably use Gerrit Cole's availability or inavailability on the Yankees to get the deal that they did get for the San Diego Padres. Kind of like, hey, we got this deal for the Yankees going on last best offer right now, and the Padres came to the table with a good offer. I think the players they got back are pretty good, pretty decent. As we know, time will tell of how those players are going to be. And I see people poo-pooing the Chris Sale trade 7 years after. Oh, those two players that they got kind of suck. It's like, hey, who developed them? Those players were top minor league players.
Also, they were prospects.
Yeah.
These guys that they got yesterday are prospects.
Yeah.
You don't know how prospects are going to turn out. And there's no such thing as a slam dunk prospect.
And Michael Kopech has given you over 200 innings. It's not like he never reached the precipice. He's still a part of their plans for 2024. Yoan Moncada got a big ass contract and just didn't have the health to play it out. Like, I mean, yeah, they weren't superstars, but they also weren't complete busts and didn't even get the chance to, you know, put on a White Sox uniform.
I mean,
they could have been a lot worse.
Sure. I mean, the trade at the time, though, you got to judge it by what happened at the time.
Yes.
And if you're judging it after the fact, then you're just judging prospects in baseball in general.
That's what happens. You're gonna, like, I judged trades at what at the time happened. That's why I don't give Rick Hahn all the grief that people give him about Fernando Tatis, because zero of you were talking about, man, they're giving up that Fernando Tatis Jr. in this trade for James Shields. I don't like that. None of you guys were doing that. So
he was 17.
Exactly. You judge the trade, I do at least, especially with prospects, at the time of the trade. Did you get equal or greater value for the player that you traded away? And I know people were looking at Jackson Merrill. Guess what? Padres, like, we might not give him up because he might be our starting center fielder this year. And Ethan Salas wasn't available. These people weren't available to talk. And so to get the 5, the 7, and the 8 prospect, including a major league reliever, I think is pretty damn good for a player that you're not going to re-sign and is going to be on a bad team. Being on a bad team, being the best player on a bad team is not good for anybody.
Yeah, right.
If you get value for it.
And we'll see what happens too with all these prospects. Again, at the moment, you got two 19-year-olds that could be great.
Baby.
They could be fine. They could be nothing. You have Drew Thorpe, who is, what, minor league pitcher of the year, led single A in strikeouts, 182 strikeouts, I think, in 131 innings.
Maybe.
Right? Hey, there you go. That sounds good.
Yeah.
It's just all about how you take them from here. Hopefully they have a plan. Hopefully Brian Bannister picked Jairo Iriarte and Drew Thorpe for a reason out of the pitching prospects that the Padres had, and we'll see what happens. But, again, it's just not fun to be playing this game. I was promised parades. I like that a lot better than prospects. Parades,
I mean,
over prospects.
I mean, there's going to be a whole bunch of parades this weekend.
That's true.
You can see as many as you want.
4 St. Patrick's Day parades. I'm good. Let's take a break, and then we'll get to some Chris Getz video from earlier on today. Want to let you know about our friends over at Ray Chevy. They have their best offers of the year during the March Radness sales event.
Awesome.
Way to Ray Chevrolet on Route 12 in Fox Lake to join in on the savings. One of the top-selling Chevy dealers in the Midwest. You'll always be able to shop one of the Chicagoland's largest Chevy inventories at Ray Chevy, and then they have perfect tailgating vehicles at Ray Chevy during truck month for a limited time offering. They're offering 0% financing for 72 months on new Silverados with over 100 available, and they have 125 vehicles under $20,000. Seriously, can pricing get more affordable?
No.
It can't get radder either.
No. And hey, I guess it can't get more affordable than free as well. That's a good point. It doesn't get radder than at Ray Chevrolet. But everyone loves the word free. That's why at this month at Ray Chevrolet in Fox Lake, you'll get a free oil change. All you have to do is mention CHGO when scheduling your oil change. Start the new year off right and schedule it by April 1st. Visit Ray Chevrolet in Fox Lake or RayChevrolet.com. They've been serving the community since 1963. Find new roads. And Vinny.
Yes.
Do you know what Fox Lake is close to?
I know it. Closer to than what we are currently?
Yeah.
They're close to that Wisconsin border, Sean.
Boom.
And once you cross over that Wisconsin border, once you drive past that wooden sign with the Wisconsin hanging by, once you drive far enough to reach the Mars Cheese Castle and plant your flag on the surface of Mars, you can taste.
Is that where that is?
What?
Far.
The Mars Cheese Castle?
The bread thing.
Wisconsin?
The planet Mars? Yeah, it's in Wisconsin.
Yeah. In Wisconsin?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's delicious. But once you get there, then that's where you can taste Wisconsin innovation, Line and Kugels, and all their various delicious beers. If you do happen to go north of the border, if you hit Fox Lake and you're like, just keep going, you can get yourself some Liney's Original, which is a real good one. But, of course, Herb is drinking the Sunset Wheat.
Mm-hmm.
We enjoy the Lakeside Cherry here. We've got some of that in the fridge right now. I love the Honey Vice. There's also the Berry Vice. But, guys, it's Shandy season.
Damn right.
You can go down to the Jewels right now. There's a big stack of summer Shandy, and you can drink it to your heart's content. Maybe you want to have a nice picnic on the lakefront, and you're going to need some refreshment. So, summer Shandy it is. Maybe you want to have a nice tailgate down at Guaranteed Rate Field before a game. And you want some refreshment, summer Shandy it is. Maybe you want to hop in a canoe and paddle yourself all the way to America's dairy land.
Or back to Chicago.
Or if you're already in Wisconsin, paddle it back to Chicago. You're going to need some hydration along the way. Summer Shandy can give you that. Here's the CTA, the Chicago Transit Authority. Flavor life's simple moments with Line and Kugels, the official craft beer of the Chicago White Sox. Go to liney.com/CHGO to find delivery options near you. That's LEINIE.com/CHGO. Or pick up Line and Kugels pretty much anywhere they sell beer. Line and Kugels, flavor of the moment. Celebrate responsibly. The Jacob Line and Kugel Brewing Company, Chippewa Falls.
Yes.
Hyro.
So I think what you're going for is you're
the
trying to combine.
Argentinian.
No, you're trying to combine Daisuke Matsuzaka's famous pitch, the gyro ball, with new White Sox pitcher Jairo Iriarte.
Well, there's also
But if he threw that, we could change it. We could call it the Jairo ball.
That's true. Or, there's also the Argentinian singer, Jairo, who spells it the same way. And I think he says it more with an X sound. So
there's also
That could be his walk-in.
There's also Jairo Gearloose from DuckTales.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also lamb meat, gyros.
Isn't that a euro, though?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
We'll serve to confuse.
Yes. All right, we have not gotten to the Michael Kopech stuff. We have sound from Chris Getz on Michael Kopech and Dylan Cease. You guys were having a press conference about Dylan Cease.
Then it got hijacked.
Then it got hijacked by Michael Kopech talk. So here's Chris Getz breaking the news about Michael Kopech moving to the bullpen to the media, just like Vinny heard it.
Yeah, so Michael is going to be transitioning to the bullpen. We've made that decision. We've talked to Michael, and his next outing is going to be out of the bullpen. So, he's a very talented arm, as we all know. He's going to have ability to get outs, towards the back half of the game. I can't say that everyone and our pitching staff has the ability to get outs like Michael does. So we look forward to seeing what that looks like. But yeah, we've made the decision that he's going to be going to the bullpen.
Chris, what did you guys see from Michael this year that led you, or this spring rather, that led you to believe that he's, his best fit is not in the rotation? And what makes you think that maybe some of those problems that he's been dealing with won't hinder him in the bullpen as well?
Yeah, I mean, when you have the front part of the game and the back part of the game, obviously attacking the zone is important regardless of where you're pitching. Now, when you're trying to navigate, the early innings and your pitch count is raised, and although you're getting some outs, you're also perhaps getting some walks, raising a workload that we felt that we were going to run the risk of perhaps overtaxing our bullpen and the remainder of our pitching staff. So we were looking for to find, you know, some starters that can be more efficient on the front end to help navigate a season. We know that Michael has the capabilities to get anyone out in this game based on his stuff. And he did show that as a starter, even in, you know, his spring training outings. However, you know, being a starting pitcher and the desire to go deeper in the games and be more efficient is something that we're aiming for. So now this transition, you know, we hope that, you know, kind of the smaller bite of the apple, so to speak, in reliever outings, whether it be one or two innings, is going to be something that's going to be perhaps easier to accomplish for Michael and be better for the White Sox.
So instead of having Michael Kopech try to swallow the apple whole as a starter, they're going to try to have him take smaller bites as a reliever. I thought that your article was great at AllCHGO. Make sure you go read it about Michael Kopech. But every option has been exhausted after, let's check, 6 spring training innings.
Yeah, I mean, you asked when I walked in here today, you're like, this is surprising, right? And yeah, I mean, I think the move in general is surprising. This is somebody who, as recently as 4 weeks ago, they were committed to figuring out a way to make him an effective starting pitcher. It didn't seem like there was a lot of time between those statements and today's news. But this is a team that has watched Michael Kopech not just all last year, but also been aware of what he was doing throughout the entire offseason and watched him far more closely and in a different way maybe than we did during the spring. You mentioned only 3 Cactus League outings. Obviously, they're looking at more than just what happened in those in-game moments. But at the same time, I mean, it just really seems like they came to the realization that these problems aren't going away. And, you know, to hear Chris Getz explain it, it kind of just boils down to he wasn't throwing enough strikes to keep himself in the game the length of time that they needed him to. You know, things were getting out of hand early, making him throw a lot of pitches early because a lot of those pitches weren't ending up in the strike zone. And then spiraling in a way where the White Sox plans for how they're going to deploy their pitching staff over the course of a series, week, month, fall apart in a way. Now, I don't know if me setting that up that severely is the reality, but certainly it was affecting things to a point where they thought this is not working and they're not going to allow him to continue to go down that path of being a starting pitcher, which he's obviously been for the last couple of years now. But it is surprising. Strictly be from a timeline standpoint, I would argue if they got to the end of camp and said this, you would say, well, at least that was a whole spring training. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of us would still say, they only gave him spring training. So for a team where we can't figure out who the last two starting pitchers in the rotation are going to be, this is a bold move by the White Sox.
I've been trying to figure out why the White Sox did this, and then I came to the realization they did this last year, at the end of last year, where Michael Kopech transitioned to the bullpen, and then the offseason, like, yeah, he's going to be having a chance to compete for a starting job next year. And I felt that was genuine, while they said the same thing for Oscar Colas, and I thought, you know, they're just having lip service. He's not making the team out of spring training. And so when we're talking yesterday about Michael Kopech and 120 innings, I was like,
yeah. Oh, hold on. What a dumb fucking bet for me.
No,
I just bet that he was going to throw 120 innings, and the next day they'd put him to the bullpen.
It's canceled out because he's not a starter. I won't take that bet.
But hopefully Benintendi hits 10 homers, and then you could just pay me 50.
That definitely will happen. the thing is, it's like these guys, the new staff with Chris Getz, they have nothing vested in Michael Kopech, where Kenny and Rick had something vested in him because they traded for him. And so when they don't see performance for Chris Getz and staff, they can have a short fuse. They can be like, this is not our guy. And if his best spot is to serve us in the bullpen, we're going to put him in the bullpen. For Rick Hahn and Kenny Williams, putting him in the bullpen when he was fully healthy would be on the opposite side of where they needed to be, especially after that Chris Sale trade. You want him to have the most value he can have so that trade can be a win, because you've already seen Chris Sale win a World Series with the Red Sox, and that trade was pretty much cash when he did that. But these guys don't have anything vested in Michael Kopech, and since they don't, If they see him as the best option for their bullpen, they'll put him there. I disagree that's their best option, but they have no stake in Michael Kopech at all.
Since 2017, he has 4 years of 120 innings pitched. You know, one's 119 and a third, but I'll be nice and say it's 120. And they've talked so much about starting pitching innings and getting starting pitching innings. We see how important it is for the Padres to acquire cheap starting pitching. They're willing to give up all these prospects for cheap starting pitching. I don't understand why you don't exhaust every single option. And I don't understand that too, or I don't really agree with, you know, them not being vested into it, because our whole thing with Brian Bannister is, what is he going to do with Kopech? He was with Kopech in Boston in 2017. This is a horrendous look for Michael Kopech. You can't make the 2024 White Sox rotation out of spring training after three starts. Like, this is a bad, bad look for Kopech. And we saw the video that Jared Willis, where they're crowded around Kopech's locker and they ask him, and it doesn't seem like Michael Kopech is a big fan of going to the bullpen. And you bring up that Michael Kopech was moved to the bullpen and everyone's saying he's going to be relaxed in the pen. If he can't throw strikes in a start, why is he going to be able to throw strikes coming out of the bullpen? And they moved him to the bullpen for four games last year. What was his ERA, boys?
7?
14.
Damn.
So, hey, instead of throwing 58% strikes, he threw 60% strikes. What an uptick. What is this? What are you doing? You're going to go sign Michael Lorenzen or Mike Clevinger to just waste Michael Kopech for the next 2 years? Maybe he'll become a bullpen guy in the next 2 years, and then you'll have to sign him. Oh, wait, you don't spend money. And the whole thing this whole year is going out and trading all the guys that make money, like Aaron Bummer, out of the bullpen. I just don't get this. You can get starting pitcher innings from Michael Kopech. He's not hurt. Like, that's a huge benefit.
And like, also,
not a lot of guys could say that.
Like, if there's an older pitcher, like they're going to sign maybe a Michael Lorenzen or Michael Clevinger to a small deal, I would rather see Mike Kopech do what he can do. And whatever that result is, I'll take, because he still has a high ceiling. Those guys, they're older. What are they going to bring to the White Sox? What is Brad Keller going to bring to the White Sox? Like, there's nothing there for me for those guys. Michael Kopech has elite pitches, as you have pointed out. Stuff plus, his fastball's elite. Now, out of the bullpen, with no actual real, like, he's the closer, or he's the long reliever, or he's the middle reliever, I don't know. Like, and you said, that video, he's supposed to take his lumps like that, and he's supposed to look melancholy, because I don't think they gave him a fair shot to make the starting rotation, but still have 10 other guys battling for the starting rotation, as if he can't have two more starts where he shows you guys, hey, you just been working with me for the last three, and these last two, I've kind of turned the corner on that. I'm starting to apply the things that you have told me, and they're starting to work in the game type of stuff. Being in the bullpen, I don't know what that serves anybody. Like, this is pretty much the end of Michael Kopech's White Sox career. He'll still pitch for the White Sox, but is he going back to the starting rotation anytime soon? Probably not. Once you're demoted to the bullpen like this for the second time, I think that's pretty much the writing's on the wall, and they're probably looking for trade partners for him.
Yeah, snip, snap, snip, snap. I mean, I would not understand the whole point of putting him into the bullpen. It's just the same thing with...
I got that reference. Nicely done.
Thank you. I'm getting flashbacks to Boston when, you know, Tony La Russa is putting Kopech in as a starter, and we're like, oh, look at this. This is the future. Kopech's going to be a starter. Like, I get that 2021 was different. He was working back. There was the pandemic. But, like, they moved him to the bullpen. And Chris Getz, I got to be honest, I didn't like a single answer from there. It didn't really seem clear enough that it was just he's not throwing strikes. Why isn't he throwing strikes? Is it because he didn't do the work? Like, if you're going to move a guy to the bullpen, just bust toss him. If he's not doing the work, then he's not doing the work. If he's doing the work, he's doing everything you asked him, and he's not getting the results in spring training, why is that so offensive? Like, I get that Garrett Crochet has been outstanding in spring training. 9 innings, no earned runs, 12 strikeouts, unhittable. Can he throw 60 innings? Like, I don't get it. Kopech's career spring training ERA is 760. You mentioned his ERA right now is 771. He's given up 38 earned runs in 45 innings pitched. He's pretty bad in spring training. Like, what are you actually learning? I don't know. I don't understand.
Well, I think the
I'm baffled.
The answer to that question, while it was not given today, and certainly it will come, you know, in the future, I'm sure. But the answer to that question is apparently enough, right? And I think I have a similar reaction to yours in terms of having questions as to, hey, this season is about learning what you got for the future, right? Like, no, I mean, I understand that they would like to win games, but I don't think anybody's expecting them to go out and contend for a division, and having Michael Kopech in the rotation versus the bullpen is going to be detrimental to that pursuit, right? I mean, if you can give him the runway of the of even a third of the season or half the season, right, to figure out if he can do this or not, don't you use it in a season like this? I mean, that would be my question. So, if that, obviously they're not doing that. So they have already determined, they have already learned behind the scenes that, no, that's not going to work. And to me, I would say, ooh, they learned that quick, but maybe they were paying attention last year too. And they were taking it last year, and they're like, and they were like, all right, maybe this offseason, this is your last chance to get it right. Otherwise we're putting you in the bullpen before the end of spring. And I mean, it's 2 weeks before opening day, and they're like, nah, this is not working. So you would think when you hear Pedro Grifol say stuff like, you know, we're going to exhaust every resource to get this guy right, all those resources exhausted 4 weeks into spring training. Okay.
The money's going towards the stadium.
I mean, and then like they tell us the results don't necessarily matter, but they do. Apparently they matter a lot.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. I would say that they could be in tandem with what they're seeing otherwise. You know what I mean? I don't think they just look up and they say, ooh, 7.7 ERA in three innings or six innings or whatever the hell it is. Nope, that's not going to cut it, because there are other players who have
Jesse Chavez
bad stats like that in that small amount of time. Mm-hmm. Or, like you said, Sean, good stats in that small amount of time, right? So, yeah, it's surprising. It's confusing to us because we don't have all the answers, but it is a definitive decision. We'll put it that way.
I think, and Tom says he's tipping pitches, and you correctly pointed out that was versus the Giants in the home opener last year, and he fixed it. But also, this is an indictment on the White Sox development staff, including the former minor league head boss, Chris Getz. If you can't fix a guy that has the stuff that he has and has the physical stature that he has, then who are you going to fix? Who are you going to fix, Brian Bannister? Like, you have a perfect pitcher to mold into the pitcher that you need to mold into. He's got premium stuff, and you can't mold him into the pitcher you need him to be? I say it's questionable. And you didn't give him enough time, as Vinny said. Like, Let him play some games. I don't call these spring training games games. These are exhibitions.
We're talking about practice.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Let him play some actual games. And after April, if he's still Michael Kopech, you say, all right, then. It's been real. We have other options down in AAA. Time for Nick Nastrini.
Yeah, let's take a break, and then let's talk about those options. And we'll talk a little bit, too, about the Dylan Cease audio that we have. Chris gets addressing the trade and the players that they have acquired. I guess I got to get a little bit more pumped up for Prize Picks.
Yes.
My bad. I can't get all down about the White Sox. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. Bulls are playing tonight. We got to get out of here, I think, for a Bulls pregame show at 6:30. They're the easiest and most exciting way to play DFS. I don't think we can legally sing that.
Can we sing what? Saying what? That wasn't a tune.
Okay.
No.
It's just you against the numbers over at Prize Picks. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2-6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in the excitement with Prize Picks, America's #1 fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into serious cash. And there's conference
Hearts tournaments are here, which means the biggest moments in college basketball are getting closer. Be a part of the action on Prize Picks for both men's and women's college basketball. You can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. So go sign up today. You can go use code CHGO for a first deposit match up to $100 at prizepicks.com/CHGO, and you can make your entries in under a minute. It's that easy, and that's prizepicks.com/CHGO, and use code CHGO for a first deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Charlie the Bacon Guy is based out of Woodridge, Illinois, and he makes craft bacon and bacon jams with over 30 different flavors. The bacon and bacon jams are all naturally cured, fancy preservative-free product, and there aren't any ingredients that Charlie can't pronounce himself involved in the process, unlike the other store-bought bacon. It's vacuum-sealed, and it freezes great. Lasts in the package for up to 45 days in the fridge or 6 months in the freezer. Bacon jam lasts about 60 days in the fridge and up to 6 months in the freezer. Some of the flavors for the bacon are maple pepper, chorizo, French toast, honey chipotle, Cajun, jardinera, raspberry chipotle, and Maui Wowie. For bacon jam, I have the original at my house. They also have bourbon, mango habanero, and cherry jalapeno. The bacon jam goes perfectly on everything. Scrambled eggs, toast, crackers, burgers, grilled cheese, cinnamon rolls, or where Charlie likes it, on his spoon. And the Bacon Vault, it has all the flavors that he's made in the past. If it's not currently available, give Charlie about 2 weeks and he'll make it for you. You can pick up the bacon, which is the most efficient way, or you can meet him halfway, or he can deliver it to your home or even ship it. He makes the bacon so you can bring it home. Head on over to charliethebaconguy.com to place your order. If you want to follow him on Instagram, it's Charlie the Bacon Guy. Twitter, CZ the Bacon Guy, or email charliethebaconguy@gmail.com. And the website is charliethebaconguy.com.
Thank you, Herb. And we want to give a huge shout out to our guy Charlie, because Charlie rocks, and he was coming in here and making our whole office smell like bacon. We are going to be joined by Jared Willis in just a second. I do want to get to the Chris Getz audio on the Dylan Cease trade before, and then we'll get Jared's reaction on the Dylan Cease trade, and then obviously he was able to talk to Michael Kopech today, so we'll get his thoughts on the Michael Kopech situation. So let's go back to Chris Getz to get what Vinny heard and the media heard today from Chris Getz on the Dylan Cease trade. Here is Chris Getz on Dylan Cease.
Yeah, he certainly was a popular name this offseason, and I know, you know, we've all kind of spoken about that many a times. You know, we certainly had a threshold in which we felt like needed to be met for us to move on this. And you know, we had a multitude of conversations with many teams. And certainly there's an ebb and flow throughout an offseason, and you know, you've got teams that are needs are, you know, ever changing. There's free agency. And, you know, up until yesterday, we didn't feel like we had a deal on the table that we were, you know, we felt like met the mark. And, you know, it finally came together and we moved on it. You know, I think, you know, certainly Dylan, you know, he was very effective in his spring training outings. He looks very good. You know, his last outing with Cincinnati was an impressive one. And there was a lot of buzz at that game. You know, unsurprisingly, you know, shortly thereafter and into the following day, you know, teams really stepped up. San Diego, particularly, they're on their way to Korea presently. So there certainly was some urgency on their end. And, you know, with all the different factors and, you know, everything kind of coming to a head yesterday, we felt like it was a good time to convert on that trade.
Obviously guys in this return package coming back to you are at kind of different stages of the minor leagues, but kind of in general, how do you see this group of young players kind of affecting the timeline of kind of when you guys can be considered closer to your goal?
Well, I do view three of these players have a very good opportunity to be on our 2024 team at some point. You know, you obviously got Wilson, the reliever that's pretty much plug and play with where he is in his career. You've got Drew Thorpe that has more or less been knocking on the door, very polished. You know, he was a pitcher that, you know, the Padres were strongly considering to put into the rotation, to start the season. We haven't made that decision. You know, I haven't shaken his hand. I've spoken to him briefly. We're going to get to know him obviously more here in spring training, which, it certainly is, I think a, you know, being that we're still a couple of weeks away from opening day, it gets an opportunity for us to get around these players and get a better idea of, you know, who they are as people, and certainly more so on players and what makes them effective. And then we'll make decisions from there. But, you know, if you're looking at, you know, Thorpe, Wilson, Iriarte, we think that there's a strong chance that, they're going to be on our major league team at some point. And then in addition, Zavala, obviously a very young player, and look forward to watching his growth throughout the year. He's certainly one of the top prospects in our game, and you know, look forward to shaking his hand as well.
Chris, I think you talked about, you know, Vinny already asked about what drove you to make this deal now, but are you surprised to make a deal like this? I think deals of this magnitude or size are rare to happen mid-spring training. Probably think of them more as off season or a deadline. What dynamics do you think were in place to get the market, you know, just drive offers up to where you were comfortable with it, as opposed to waiting at the deadline where maybe you see teams kind of up the ante because of the responding to the need a bit more?
Yeah, I can't say that there was a blueprint that was being worked off of. I mean, what needed to be met for us to move on this, and what drove that? You know, a lot of different factors. I'm sure free agency played a part with some of these other teams that really jumped in and got motivated. And also, you know, quite honestly, I think a lot of it had to do with Dylan coming out here and showing everyone what the pitcher that he is. You know, he's been really sharp early on, and you know, it's certainly been out there. You know, last year wasn't Dylan's best year, and there was I think a level of concern that perhaps, you know, he wasn't going to be able to get back to who, you know, who he's been in the past. And I had all the faith in the world based on, you know, how comfortable I am with Dylan Cease, his work ethic, and the talent that he is. And so I think that other teams' comfort levels were raised when they were able to see it in person. Obviously they don't know the player like we do. And you know, it was kind of a perfect storm. You know, there's, you know, the million-dollar question of, okay, if you take this into the season, taking it towards the deadline, what type of a return, does that look like? Well, you know, that's a risk. You know, were we willing to take that? Of course we were. I was willing to take it into the season. However, you know, there's no denying that a lot of things can happen on a baseball field and throughout a season. So you weigh that risk with the offer that was given to us by San Diego, when we felt like that was, you know, something that was, you know, likely not to be met, if we would have taken into the season. And we had a highly motivated team in the San Diego Padres that wanted to start the year out with Dylan Cease. And I understood that, and it made sense for both sides. I'm sure it's a deal that's going to help the San Diego Padres, and very confident that it's a deal that's going to help the Chicago White Sox.
And then back to the trade, is like your first blue chip player, you know, 2 years of control. As you do this deal, you know, and it's obvious you've been talking since November to a lot of teams. Are you thinking, okay, I can get another team's top prospect, making no judgment about the guys you got back, but are you thinking Jackson Merrill? Are you thinking the Yankees top guys? Like, and then you realize, okay, maybe it's not the number one on another franchise, but we'll do well in a different way.
Yeah, I mean, I think you look for you know, a set of value in a return, right? And there's different ways to find that value. And once we felt like they met that mark, that we were going to go ahead and make that move. So yeah, there's certainly some players out there that carry, you know, significant value as an individual, or there are ways to do it with multiple players. There's different ways to go about it. And you know, every sort of offer or anything that we were considering was shaped differently because every organization set up differently. So, yeah, there's different ways to go about it, but more than anything, you know, very excited about the return we got with the San Diego Padres.
They are very excited about the return they got from the San Diego Padres. Well, let's hear a little bit more. We'll head out to Arizona to chat with Jared Willis. He's out in Arizona for both Cubs and White Sox spring training. He was able to be flexible and headed over to Camelback Ranch. He's out at our friends at Gila River Resort and Casino. Chicago or CHGO spring training hotel accommodations are provided by our friends at Gila River Resort and Casino Vakiva. It's the place for Chicago baseball fans to stay when visiting the Phoenix area. So if you're planning to head west to watch Cactus League games or traveling to the desert throughout the year, call 1-800-946-4452 or visit play at GILA.com. Hi, Jared. You can follow Jared at J Willis, Y's instead of I's, on X. How you doing? And what was the reaction from Ethan Katz today with the Dylan Cease trade?
Yeah, I think like a lot of the guys, the reaction was, you know, A, this is something we knew was coming. It was just really a question of when this was going to happen, not if. But then just a lot of talk about like, all right, well, what does it look like for us moving forward? And Katz said today that his number was there are 10 different guys who are still in the discussion for those five spots in the rotation, which can be a, you know, is that a good thing that you've got 10 options to choose from? Or is that this picture is still so unsettled that we're still deciding between 10 different guys? But there are some arms in that group where there's some potential there. And he was really excited about some of the guys they got back from San Diego, like Drew Thorpe. He talked about quite a bit, and just the potential that they see in him, and liking that Steve Wilson already has some major league experience. So his ability to make an impact in 2024 is there. I think the big picture now going forward is really much, very much, who are those five guys going to be and what's the order that we're going to see them slotted in?
And Jared, I was wondering the atmosphere of that clubhouse, because no matter what we say and we think that the White Sox are going to be bad, those guys believe that they're going to be competing for the AL Central, but then they trade their best pitcher away. Was the attitude just the same as it was a day before, or was it kind of dire in there or dour in there?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's definitely... we talked to Andrew Vaughn first, and he just spoke quite a bit about, you know, we just got to take the next step forward, focus on the next thing that we need to do. He used some of those phrases that you hear from players a lot. He said it's, you know, just the next man up, and that kind of thing. But it did feel a little bit like we're trying to put a positive spin on something, or just have a good attitude about this reality, because it's hard to ignore the fact that you trade away your best pitcher. That changes the outlook for this season significantly. And then at the same time, we get the Michael Kopech news that he's been moved to the bullpen. And so then when we spoke to him, he was a little, I think, downtrodden is the best way to describe it, because he has the combination of Dylan Cease, who he's been in the organization with for a long time, is now on his way out. And then he's also processing this news that he's moving to the bullpen.
Jared, you spoke with Ethan Katz, pitching coach. Obviously, we heard from Chris Getz about the decision to move Michael Kopech to the bullpen. But what did Ethan elaborate on in terms of, you know, why Michael Kopech is being moved to the bullpen and what he expects from him out there?
The main thing with why is they kept using the word opportunity. Which I think the way he talked about it was they want to give Michael Kopech the opportunity to play to some of his strengths, that haven't really worked for him as a starter. As we know, he's really struggled to find the strike zone. But you know that he's got a super live arm, and both he and Pedro Grifol kind of hinted at the possibility of closer, but were very careful not to say, we're going to make him our closer. That's what we think he can do. But it's clearly something that it's an option that they have in their mind. And it makes sense because you've got a guy that can throw as hard as he does. You can see the potential there. But the main thing is that his performance as a starter just hasn't been what they're looking for, even in a rotation that is as unsettled as what the White Sox have. They didn't see Kopech fitting in that role, regardless of who else is in the picture.
Yeah, it's still baffling to us. I want to stay with Kopech just a little bit more. I know you mentioned the word downtrodden. Did it seem like it was kind of out of nowhere for Kopech? Because we talked a little bit, like, I asked Vinny and Herb, like, should I be shocked by this Kopech news? Do you feel like Kopech himself was shocked?
From what we were told, or from what I heard, is Kopech has known for a couple of days. So this was not news that he got like this morning or even last night. I think he's known for a little bit longer. It's just that Chris Getz shared this publicly during his Zoom conference this morning. And so that's when the rest of us heard. But I think for Kopech, like he knew, but this was the moment where this is now public knowledge and he's got to, you know, do his thing and stand in front of the media at his locker and talk about it. And again, like I said, at the same time that he's processing Dylan Cease and just that reality, because Cease was in the locker room this morning kind of clearing out his stuff. So he was there saying goodbyes and stuff today. So for Kopech, it's kind of two different things that he's going through at the same time.
And Jared, did he, Ethan Katz, talk about with, 2 weeks to go until opening day, how they're going to go from 10 to 5 guys in the starting rotation? Like, if the Kopech thing was already decided a couple of days ago, I'm pretty sure they have a good idea who their 5 people are.
Yeah, and because I think that while he said there are 10 guys that are in the discussion, what's probably more the case is there are 3, maybe 4 spots that they have a pretty firm idea about, and then a handful of others that they're considering for the rest, especially now that the Cease has officially been traded. So I would suspect that rotation is a lot more settled maybe than we're deciding between 10 different guys than that makes it sound. But like today's pitchers and Mike Soroka and Garrett Crochet, those are guys who are in that discussion. But there are still some questions with both of them. So I think they do feel like they want to see them another time out before they start to make some of those decisions.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You bring up Garrett Crochet. I know the answer to this, but tell everybody else, what did Ethan Katz have to say or not say about what the plan for Garrett Crochet is going to be?
So we asked him very specifically, is this, you know, do you think physically he's ready to go in as a starter on opening day? I asked him, do you think, you know, the possibility he might need some time to get stretched out a little bit longer, and just All he would say is he's doing everything he's supposed to be ready for opening day. without any, without elaborating or going into any detail beyond that. So based on what they're saying, they seem to project him as a starter on their opening day roster. They're, you know, ask the follow-up question of, let's look at the reality of the number of innings that he has pitched in the major leagues. And that's a big jump to go from that to, I don't know, 140, 150 innings across the season. And Garrett Crochet told us after his outing today, just a little bit ago, he said, you know, I think the innings limit thing is I forget the word that he used, but kind of like that's old news. That's not something we worry about anymore. Garrett Crochet himself doesn't seem to think that workload is something that's really going to need to be monitored very carefully.
Noted.
Right. Dr. Crochet.
Noted.
Great.
Yeah.
That's awesome that he knows so much about the human body. And, you know, he's proven that if he knows this much, he's been able to throw over 60 innings in a season before, right? I mean, if it's so damn easy and it was such a hump and such a storyline, why hasn't he done it? I don't know. Like, yeah. I'm in a pretty tough mood, Jared, if you couldn't tell. So three of the five rotation spots are solidified, or would you go to the four and say Crochet is one of those rotation spots? Because it seems like Fetty, Flexen, and Soroka seem to be slotted in as starters. Would you even go to the ledge or the limb of saying the leap that Crochet is the fourth starter?
I think I would, because the way it strikes me based on what Katz had to say and the way Crochet seems to feel is at this point, maybe they've got him penciled into that fourth spot. And unless something changes or he has rough outing or can't recover from, you know, his three innings today in the way that they want him to or something like that, it's sort of like a give us a reason not to put you in that fourth spot. Otherwise you're going to be there. That's the way it strikes me. So it may not be as solid as the other three, but the way that they spoke today, I would be sort of surprised if he's not in the rotation.
It just surprises me, Jared and guys, that you would throw Kopech into the bullpen and then possibly a closer role, where the problem with Michael is walks and his emotions. We know a closer can't have either of those two things going on for himself in those situations. Like, how are they going to, did they speak about how they're going to go about getting him mentally right to accept his new role? Because if he was downtrodden today, I'm sure that emotion's not going to just be here today. It's going to last for a little bit longer.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't speak to that specifically, but I think that's a really important question, because two of the things you don't want your closer doing is putting extra guys on base and struggling just to command the situation emotionally, because that's a super high pressure spot in the ninth inning. For now, though, they were pretty clear about this is just a move to the bullpen. They're really not thinking about specific roles just yet. Although, again, I'll say that they mentioned closer. That wasn't something that was asked. So I still kind of, I'm speculating a little bit, but you know, when you bring up something on your own,
thank you.
That's, you know, that's not coming out of nowhere. So maybe at some point, I don't know how early we would even see that. I would have to think that they would test him gradually in some of those more high leverage spots just to see how he responds, combined with just some work off the field on managing maybe whether it's pitch selection or how he sequences against different hitters, because it's a much different experience, of course, as a reliever, along with, dude, let's work on, you know, what's going on up here so that you can handle this spot.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just hoping the best for him. I think it was just frustrating because what we were talking about a week ago, or my thoughts on the situation was just, you know, if he goes to you and says, I can't handle it, then make the move to the bullpen and put him into the spot. It really doesn't feel like they exhausted every option. It just felt like they didn't like what they saw and they're done with them. So we'll see. Jared, anything else that you learned today at Camelback Ranch, or was it mostly Cease and Kopech related?
Yeah, lots of Cease talk and Kopech, you know, that kind of dominated the conversation. Talked to a couple of the other players just to get general reactions, but they said a lot of the things that you'd expect. They're going to miss Dylan, but they're really excited about the guys that they got back, and they're looking forward to, you know, moving on and taking the next step. So that's kind of the general sense around the clubhouse today. But I think going forward, it's that rotation question that, as that gets settled, then you'll have a much clearer idea of what this team's going to look like.
Appreciate it. All the reporting from Jared. Jared also published an article up at allchgo.com. We'll also have a short from Jared as well, so make sure you're checking him out at Jay Willis on Twitter. Willis, Y's instead of I's over on Twitter. Appreciate the reporting, Jared. Thank you very much. And CHGO spring training hotel accommodations are provided by our friends over at Gila River Resort and Casino Vaquiva. It's the place for Chicago baseball fans to stay when visiting the Phoenix area. Call 1-800-946-4452 or visit play@gila.com. Thank you, Jared, for the reporting. Final thoughts here on Kopech, and then we'll get out of here. Kopech's career strike rate in the bullpen, 64.9%. As a starter, 60.5%. So it is better, but when you look at the total numbers, 58 innings as a reliever, 4.66 ERA, 274 innings as a starter, 4.26 ERA, and you look at the whips, it's basically the same, 1.35 as a starter, 1.32 as a reliever. So while he was able to throw more strikes, that also made him more hittable. He gave up more hits, so it was less of a walk issue. It was just more of he was giving up hits and homers. So, I mean, it's not like he's a great reliever and he's running out of gas. It's like, as you mentioned with Chris Getz, it's the first like two innings where he really is kind of too giddy and amped up.
The final thing I'll say on it, and it's brought up by some of the comments that our folks are making. I think Jared maybe is the first one there referencing Brian Bannister, and that he is here to help fix Michael Kopech, right? Which you brought up earlier, Sean. Maybe the fix is sending him to the bullpen. Maybe, or at least that's what he sees the fix as, right? I mean, Bannister seems to be preaching, do what you do well. Don't try to do anything different. We heard from Michael Kopech that sometimes trying too much is a result of being a little too competitive, getting things a little out of whack early in games. Maybe if his innings are shorter, or his outings are shorter, I should say, maybe that is going to work in his favor at the end of the day. I can't imagine that the front office made this decision lightly. And so I would think that Brian Bannister sees this, as do many other people in that front office, as the way to a more effective Kopech, not a, hey, we need a place to store this guy while his contract runs out. There are better ways to do that than just say, hey, we'll give it a go in the bullpen. So I would have to imagine that this was a serious decision that was made intentionally, rather than just, this isn't working, put him over here for a second while we figure out what to do with him.
And I hope that they, as we talked about it, when he was thought to be in the starting rotation, they give him a soft entrance into a lineup. So the 7-8-9 of a fifth inning, high leverage or low leverage inning right there, where they're either up by a lot or down by a lot, because, you know, the motions of him sway by how he's doing on the mound. And so, you know, I didn't want him to be the first pitcher or the starting pitcher versus the Braves, because that's a juggernaut of an offense, and you want to pitch versus the Detroit Tigers. So it's a little less of a thing when you go against the Tigers instead of the Braves. But this is the major leagues. He will have to face actual good hitters every once in a while. But to ease him into this role that he's going to have to accept, I would want them to say, okay, this fifth inning, there's the 6, 7, 8 hitters. Do your thing, Michael Kopech, and then get him out immediately after you have a good result so he can feel good about himself, and then build on that. And then when, after he shows you that he is reliable, then you could talk about the closer stuff. The fact that they volunteered that stuff in a conversation, I don't like that they're thinking about it already. It's way too early.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's see if he can even throw a strike. Anyways, that's going to do it for the CHGO White Sox podcast. AJ mentioned, can we end on a high note and talk about what we're most excited about for the Cease trade? We have an episode tomorrow. So why don't we talk about that then?
Can end the week on a high note.
Yeah, ha, Friday fun day. Huh? Yeah, we're going to be early at 1 p.m. tomorrow, so make sure that you join us then. Maybe we'll talk about a possible free agent signing as well, because it still looks like they're looking for starting pitching innings. Seems like they have four spots possibly. They might sign a free agent for that fifth spot. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Shout out to Melissa, who I think said there was over 100 people watching, but we only have 39 likes. Make sure you hit that like button. We appreciate everyone hanging out with us. That's Vinny Duber. Read his articles up at AllCH. Same with Jared Willis, who joined us from Arizona. That's Herb Lawrence. I'm Sean Anderson. Thank you to Sarah for producing the show. Thank you to everyone for hanging out with us. We'll talk to you later. Goodbye. Y'all silly like the mayor.